Sunday, February 6. Going to St. Mark's is often an adventure. They're rebuilding the inside of the church, so services are being held in the parish hall. But with Linda in Hawaii, this was just the right time for me to go. I'd hoped Linda and George would go with me. I tiptoed to her door at 10 minutes of 11, and it was dark. All too soon, she'll be back at regimented work at the university. Long hours, so I went alone. I felt a bit like I'd been transported 1,800 years back in time to when the early Christians met in somebody's room. It was a church in the round. There was the altar in the center of the room, made out of raw planks, covered with a red cloth. And Bill Baxter conducted the service, facing part of his audience, the rest of us either on his left or his right, and the choir of youngsters directly behind him. The sermon was on the husbandman, who went out in the morning and hired men to work in his vineyard, agreed with them on a price of a penny a day. And then, again at the third hour, he went out and found men still idle in the marketplace and hired them. And again at the sixth and the ninth, and even at the 11th hour, and hired more. And then, when the day's work was done, he told his steward to give all of them the same wage. And then Bill said something like this: "I wonder how that strikes you. How do you identify with that?" There was that briefest of pauses. You never really expect anybody to answer back in church when a question is put. And suddenly a young woman on the right said, "Well, it reminds me of reading a story in the paper the other day during the bad storm. And federal workers were excused from coming to work, but there was one office that was declared essential. About one-third of the workers bundled up in ski pants and walked 5 miles and hitchhike rides and made it to work. And the other two-thirds of the office didn't. And the one-third got just mad as heck and demanded that their wages be docked of the others. And a young man in front of me said, 'Well, Bill, a committee that the president had assigned to look into the causes and cures of poverty made its report and recommended a guaranteed income for each family. Well, now that goes against my grain. I probably wouldn't be any worse off if they did. It might even help the economy. But I work hard for my living, and I just don't like that sort of thing.' And a young lady behind me spoke up and said, 'But one gets satisfaction from work. And those who really work get something that the others who only got it given to them didn't.' Rather delightfully, everyone addressed the clergyman as Bill. Of course, we went on to the parable of the prodigal son. As I looked around me, I saw the lame, the halt, and the blind, several men without coats on, a couple of about 18-year-old boys in leather jackets who looked like they might just have parked their motorcycles outside. But the most remarkable thing was that every face was interested, and many were smiling. It was a community. When we got up to take communion, we did it standing. There was no altar rail, of course. The little altar is raised about 8 inches off the floor, a platform. So we stood there with our hands crossed on all four sides of the altar and took the bread and wine, and then the line moved on. In a seedy, drab, unfashionable part of town, old St. Mark's manages somehow to have more life and spark nearly any church I know. I wished Linda and George had been with me. It was also good theater. Back at home, I found them up in the solarium, borrowed from Lucy for a few days, I hope, and sat down for a long cup of coffee and talked with them. George is easy, smooth, worldly, and said probably quite a few too many women crazy about him. He went to work at 17 in Hollywood and has had already a 9-year career in movies, on the stage, and TV. I got in a little work, and then we lunched, just the three of us, on the most wonderful Mexican food flown up from San Antonio by Dan Quayle. We should have saved it for a whole room full of Texans. But Zephyr and I are determined to feed Linda while she's here. She is so very thin. In the middle of the afternoon, I went bowling with Pat, and Sissy Morrissey and a nice life photographer came along to take a picture. Pat always beats me by 40 or 50, so I exulted when I rolled up a score of 151 and actually passed him. For years, I have moved so unselfconsciously in the midst of reporters and photographers, and just this last year or so, I'm never quite sure whether I should or shouldn't, and I feel wooden and unnatural in their presence. But life is doing a story about what Lucy, 18, does with her time. Cooking, studying nursing, going out for pizzas with Pat, to church, riding in her sports car with the top down, and on what those two do with other members of the family. It's a calculated gamble to be natural, but I haven't quite climbed into the cave yet and rolled the rock in front of it. And then, oh delight, I was going out for dinner. to the Clark Cliffords, just the three of us. It was a beautifully civilized evening, sitting in front of the fire, reminiscing about the New Year's parties that they had for about 12 years in a row, to so many of them we came, in which all the family did a skit about Washington life. So professional, so gay. The dialogues and the songs were as good as anything I've seen on Broadway. Most of all, I like to think about the way they wrote them. Three Clifford daughters and their husbands, as husbands came into the family, and Clark, sitting around the dining room table all day long on Sunday, for about 10 Sundays in the fall, trying out lines which met with crashing silence or an uproar of laughter. Then on New Year's, the floor, there would be a mixture of Supreme Court justices, senators, diplomatic corps, occupying every chair and sitting on every bit of floor, until finally once, when the crowd reached 232, Marnie said, "No more." Our business was to talk about the meeting, the library group, which will take place a week from tomorrow, and I wanted to have with Clark sort of a dry run of it first. It would, of course, be a progress report. We'd need to hear from Dr. Ransom on what his university committee had done, visiting schools to set up a budget, to look at possible personnel, the School of Public Service, but that was a different matter. And from the architects, Bunshaf and Brooks, who are presently at the rather crucial point of needing to go ahead with all the estimates they have made on space requirements and making sure that all of us know what they are and agree, or say whatever we feel.